everybody? It's your boy Flash from AOWT Gaming, aka Malachi 36, on April 26, 2022. You see Mildew Carriage ready to go. He's already bobbleheading his way inside the chair, all that good stuff. How are you doing today, good sir?
I just made myself dizzy.
A little dizbiz. What you been up to? What games have you been playing?
I've actually been getting back onto Stranded Deep. Nine Ball left me stranded, so I decided to try and swim my eye out, but kept getting bit by sharks, so I'm working on it.
He got stranded, so he went deep.
Wow. Anyways, I also picked up some newer games. War for the Overworld. It kind of reminds me a bit of like the Dungeons game. The Dungeons strategy game. So it's actually kind of fun. Pretty interesting story so far. Good concept of dungeon. So pretty much the concept is you're pretty much like a dungeon boss, but it's like you're building your dungeon and now you're trying to take over like the upper world that's kind of put you down. So like I said, it's kind of like reminds me of the Dungeon series, which was really fun. So I picked that up and having fun with that. Also found another kind of city builder type game called Egypt Old Kingdom. And it's a lot of fun. It's a very unique way of doing it. It's kind of like a very unique Civ 6 game almost. So but I've actually enjoyed that one playing through it because it actually has either like a free play mode or you can kind of play based on like historical from old Egypt. So like they've actually apparently worked with the historical people from like Egypt and all to like truly kind of like map out like before the rise of Egypt came to be what we know of the pyramids and all, like kind of like map out its history and all, and let you play through that. So it's kind of interesting, and they said they tried to make it as accurate as possible.
Interesting.
And then other than that, just not much. Just having some fun. Playing through Tiny Tina's Wonderland still more. I haven't beaten it, but that's because I keep getting pulled left and right. So yeah, not much.
Heard that. And of course, this would not be a trio without the TO, aka it's the Nine Ball. How are you doing, man? Corner Pocket. Yeah,
there was no T in that.
Yeah, no.
Well, Trevin is his name.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Called him out. I don't know.
What up there?
Using my government name.
What's up, man? How have you been? What games have you been playing? What you been up to?
I've been not doing too much lately. I've been kind of busy. I got a lot of good news with my family, so we've been talking to them. I got a niece about to... Looks like she might be going to Europe here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They're in Europe.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I don't know yet. Her school is still talking about it.
they haven't pulled up the dartboard yet, have they?
But outside of that, been watching actually a lot of TV, a lot of videos, watching some Star Trek, which I'm about to stop. Getting ready to catch up on some TV shows. Game wise, it's been more or less, I think. I've been playing Planet Crafter more and getting back on 14. I was going to jump on that yesterday, but it was shut down when I jumped on.
Yeah, it was on maintenance, yeah.
Yeah, it was on maintenance when I was going to jump on it. And I was like, dang it, I forgot.
So you pulled up Planet Crafter, a very good game.
Yeah, but I got some games. I have a massive library I'm going to start on. Some of these single player games, I'm going to try to get them out.
Yeah, dishing them out one by one.
Yeah.
Yeah, So over the weekend, we did go ahead and have our 9-to-5, which was cut extremely short due to unfortunate circumstances that took place. But if you guys want to take a look at that, make sure you guys are checking out our YouTube channel. The first part of that is up, so you guys can see exactly us going through Swords of Legends. We didn't discuss it, which we'll probably do like in the next week or so. Talk about our time with the game, all that good stuff. And then also just a reminder, just a little change that this Thursday, there is no stream, at least on the AOWT Gaming channel. Who's to say you guys might see something from Mildew Carrot? Who's to say something you might see something from It's the Nine Ball? Maybe even Hey It's Abs will be on there. But whatever it's going to be at, you guys can still come to the AOWT Gaming page if they're streaming, and you guys will see them featured on our page. So be on the lookout for all of that. But outside of that, but playing a lot more Final Fantasy 14. I'm about 20 missions away from getting out of Stormblood and into Shadowbringer, which I'm very excited for. The story's really good. It's really good.
Nineball, aren't you already at the end of Shadowbringer?
No, he's not. He's actually passed him.
Yeah, he passed me. I stopped playing because nobody was with me, and I'm just like real far ahead, and I'm like, eh.
Fell asleep at the wheel, huh?
Yeah, I pulled a, like, you know, the tortoise and the hare. See, I did the hare thing. I fell asleep in the corner there.
but yeah. So right now I'm like on my next dungeon. So I'm about, there's about two dungeons that me and Nineball are going to try to do together. Or, I mean, I'm assuming he wants to do them together. Then we're going to try, then he'll be where I'm at. And then there's like maybe like a couple more dungeons, and then we're done with Shadow or Stormblood. And then, like I said, onto the intro, like the little interlude, getting on over to Shadowbringer, which I'm very excited for. And then after Shadowbringer, that's when the interlude once again, but then it will be Endwalker, which is the latest expansion that's currently out. So excited for all that. But we're playing that, playing a lot of Smite 2 lately, but we've been doing more Conquest, learning more of that lately, and getting the roles down a little bit more.
Playing a lot of Smite.
Yeah, which is a lot more balanced when you're playing Conquest than the other game modes. Still some broken stuff in there, but it's been manageable and doable, and we're having more fun playing Smite Conquest mode. And I can't stress enough that it's Conquest that's keeping us in it.
It's all they focused on was Conquest.
Yeah, and that's what they ended up doing, is they focused on it so hard that they forced us. That were primarily playing Joust for X amount of years. Because when I first started, I was Conquest. I was Conquest all day, that and Assault. And then eventually we started doing more Joust and having fun with that. That was fantastic for as long as it lived. And then now it's just like, you might as well not even have it as a game mode anymore, because it's just so hard to play in it. So I've been playing a lot of that. Watching a lot of anime, definitely. Spy Family, Shikamori is not just a cutie. Tamagotchi game. Trapped in a Dating Sim, literally all these different types of animes that are coming out weekly, watching them. Some of them are Rising of Your Shield Heroes, Kaguya's Love is War, Date Life, Season 4, all that good stuff. So I've been keeping myself pretty busy with that. But we have quite a plethora of news to go over, and a lot of video game news. And a lot of it's actually a lot of Sony news too as well. So if there's ever a day to call me Sony Pony, today's the day. Today is the day for that.
He brought the style back out, folks.
I do want to kick it off just because, again, like I said, there's a lot of news here. Halfway through, we're going to kind of go over our Fantasy Gaming League, give you guys a quick little update with that. But I do want to kick it off with God of War Ragnarok still lives .. in 2022. Eddie Macouch from GameSpot says this in an article. Earlier this week, Sony Santa Monica gave a brief update on the God of War Ragnarok, but the studio did not flat out say the game remains on track for release 2022. That being the case, some wonder if the PS4 and PS5 games have shifted to next year, but it has not. Someone on Twitter asked Ragnarok animation director Bruno Velasquez for a reassurance that the game is still on track for 2022, and Velasquez confirmed Ragnarok is coming this year. Developer Corey Barlow gave an update on Ragnarok earlier this week, saying everyone on the team is, quote, heads down and hard at work, working on the project. We are perfectionists, Barlow said, adding that he hopes to be able to share more updates and insights into Ragnarok as soon as possible. Quote, we don't want to hold any of this back, so please hold tight. Know that something is cool is coming, he said. Ragnarok was apparently originally going to launch in 2021, but Kratos actor Christopher Judge suffered an injury in 2019 that reportedly led to a delay in 2022. End quote, end story. So right now, off the bat, I want to kick it off to you, Nineball. Does this surprise you in any shape or form? As far as, do you think it's going to get delayed this year? Do you think it's going to come out this year? Are you surprised that it was supposed to come out last year, but because of Christopher Judge being injured in 2019, and mind you, it got delayed until 2022?
I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it's delayed again to 2023. It's not a bad thing. I mean, with everything that is going on and everything that happened, I'm not surprised that there are going to be quite a few delays, and hitting a massive AAA title like this,
yeah,
it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, they just wanted to be perfect, and to see a delay, it's not the worst thing. As long as it launches in good condition, I don't have a problem with it. I'm willing to wait.
Did you play the first one, 2018?
Huh?
Did you play the 2018 God of War?
Nope.
You haven't? Well, I'm gonna make my comment on that in a second. For the general public, it's not a grill, it's not a Raz. Mildewy, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm glad it still lives, but I kind of agree with Nineballs that we could possibly see more delays. Because, I mean, I know they say, they're holding off because the guy was, injured and all, but, sometimes injuries can delay even further than what we're expecting, depending upon what it was. So, I mean, it's already been about 3 years since the injury. So there's a possibility of another year. There's a possibility it could be this year. The main thing we want is definitely the safety and health of the actor, Christopher Judge. I don't know how I feel about 2020. It could be late 2020. It could be early 2023, to be completely honest. Just because of the fact that, like, oh, it's been 3 years. I'm like, but we don't know what the injury is. I haven't looked it up. I probably should. But, it's one of those things where I'd rather have the health and safety of the actor versus trying to fully push the game out this year.
Yeah,
I'd be happy if they held it off till next year just to make sure. Because we don't know how much he's missed. You're talking a delay of 2019 and 2022 in terms of missing stuff for Kratos and interactions with Kratos. So maybe it could change something.
Yeah.
In there. Who knows? So
I do want to point out that I believe that his injury is already, like, that's long gone. It's just that because you guys already know this, that they do development earlier before the release date, obviously.
It's like with movies and all, like, they shoot certain scenes at certain times and then they put it together, they clip them together, which I understand they'd be doing here. But that's why I said it's like being on the injury, when it was fully resolved, when they got back to shooting stuff for him and doing stuff for him, taking the injury into account and all, like, does that change anything? Will it optimize, certain things? Would it make you want to go back and redo scene 85 because that one's like, oh shoot, this actually would be better if we did it this way because of this, I don't know.
I'm in agreement with all of you guys on that. Like, I won't be surprised if it doesn't come this year. Like, if 2023 is the release, ends up being the release year for that, so be it. But here's the thought that I have is that we're still in a year where people are still trying to get themselves a PS5s. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on this today. But right as of now, it's much easier to get an Xbox Series X or S. You can just walk inside the store almost and get one now in most locations. I think with that, PS5 is not too far behind. I know there's a huge demand for that. It's the more popular system, all that good stuff, whatever. But hopefully we start getting more of those PS5s on the shelves and be able to stay on the shelves at least for a couple of days to a week versus being sold out instantly. With that being said, because we're starting to have a rollout of more PS5s for people that never had a PS4 or anything like that beforehand, this is actually kind of a good thing. No need to rush it, because if you're a PS5 owner, you have PlayStation Plus, you now have God of War Ragnarok. You just got to download it. It's included inside the PlayStation Plus collection. So if they were to delay it, not come out this year, and come out in 2023, that gives you more time to get PS5s in the hands of people, so that way they can play God of War Ragnarok and get through God of War Ragnarok, and then might be hyped for that and be like, all right, cool. When's the next one coming out? Oh, it's coming out next week. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of almost a perfectly timed thing for them to kind of do. I know that's not what they're aiming on doing, and on top of that, there's a PS4 version from what it sounds like of God of War Ragnarok. So it's not really like you have to have a PS5 to play this, but I feel like most gamers out there would want to have a PS5 by the time God of War Ragnarok comes out. And this just kind of gives you more time to do that.
For sure, because I can definitely see, like, people wanting, because you got faster load speeds, higher graphic capabilities, for and you know, plus haptic feedbacks and everything with the PS5 controllers and all, to where it's like you, people are definitely going to want that to play God of War Ragnarok, because it's definitely a very interactive game. If you've ever played the first one, like it's very, the battles are just holy shit in terms of reactions and everything. To where haptics is going to make you just go, you know.
Yeah, really fun stuff there. Really fun stuff. Story number two. If you guys recall, earlier this year, PlayStation have revealed what their Project Spartacus was. If you guys, and they broke it down inside different tiers. If you guys did not hear about that, welcome to 2022. So more about PlayStation Plus. Darren Bontis from GameSpot says this in the article. As part of its evolution for its Plus, PS Plus, Sony has reportedly begun to ask developers to provide timed game trials for premium tier of the subscription service. Sources speaking to the game developer claim that the developers will be required to create time-limited game trials of their games if they cost more than $34, and that these trials must be at least 2 hours long. Games that fall under the price won't be required to do that. Won't be required to play a provide a playable trial, and the policies won't retroactively apply to the older games or PSVR titles. So I'm gonna stop real fast just to kind of reiterate. Most of your indie titles that are only like 8 hours long or 20 hours long, they're not going to be required to make a 2 hour trial. So just want to point that out there. Back to the story. The news. Oh yeah. Yeah. But it's also PlayStation VR titles are not included in that too, by the way. The news, which was allegedly uploaded on Sony's developer portal, also added that the company will be flexible with this new requirement, as new developers have up to 3 months after the game's launch on PlayStation Store to release a time trial. Additionally, these trials need to be available on PlayStation Plus premium users for at least 12 months. These new slices of gameplay aren't meant to replace demos either, as developers will still reportedly be free to release that content and free weekend sessions of their games for all PlayStation users. A few games retail for $34 launch, and this new rule from Sony will likely impact AA games and above, and titles such as Kena: Bridge of Spirits, Evil Dead the Game, and Sniper Elite 5 are examples of type of game scoping that will be impacted. The nearest comparison to this idea of video games trials would be Steam system, which allows for a full refund on games if they have played for less than 2 hours or owned for under 2 weeks. The new PlayStation Plus subscription service launches in June and includes three separate tiers: PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Plus Extra, and PlayStation Plus Premium.
I don't even know why they have the Plus on there. They just make it PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Extra, and well, PlayStation Premium.
They still have, they should have, I would say they have it, in my opinion, they should have a PlayStation Plus, PlayStation Extra, and PlayStation Premium.
Yeah, that's something like that. And they don't need a PlayStation Plus Extra, PlayStation Plus Premier.
Yeah, and the reason, I get it, because the Plus is their brand. Like,
yeah, they, then it's just PPP.
Triple P. And before we discuss this, I do want to go on over to the part B of this, which is Parth Bagaria from Game Rant says this in the article. The new tiers of PlayStation Plus launched within the next 2 months. Sony revealed that its release date a few days ago, confirming its previously stated plan of launching the new service is in most regions by the end of June. The revamped PlayStation Plus launches from first in Asia on May 23rd, followed by Japan June 1st. Fans into the Americas can subscribe to the new tiers from June 13th, while European users will have to wait until June 22nd. PlayStation Plus has nearly 50 million subscribers, and many may want to upgrade to either extra or premium tiers for the added benefits. While Sony had not officially announced any upgrade for the PATH existing systems, many can assume it will give players an upgrade option to encourage them to subscribe to the higher tiers. According to some recent sent out emails, it appears Sony wants to make a transition as seamless as possible. End quote, end story. So, going on that, we have the three tiers. I think we talked about this briefly, but I want to ask again now that we just got a little bit more insight as far as what PlayStation is trying to do for their premium members. Where do we stand with these tiers? Is anyone going to just have the Plus? Is anyone going to upgrade to the Extra? Or is anyone going to upgrade to the Premium? I'll go last because you guys already know my choice.
I'm going premium.
You're going premium.
I'm going to try premium. I want to see how premium works. I want to see if it's good. I kind of expected this from them, to have a demo or something that would entice people other than just, you know, backward, complete backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
And I think the 2 hours should be okay.
Well, 2 hours minimum.
That's minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be more.
Yeah, I want to see how far they go on that one. It is a good thing to have a demo on there like that for people so then they can give a game a shot, see if they like it, and if you don't, just take it off. So far, I don't really have a problem with it, but I do want to see more. I want to hear more about it.
Heard that. And again, yep. Like, these are not games that are just, I want to keep that in mind, that it doesn't, looking at this, it's not saying that these games, like the games that's on PlayStation Plus, are the ones that has to have the trial. It's saying any game that's AA that has $34 or more, that's going to be on the console.
$34 or more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's $34 or more, yeah. So any games that's $39.99 at launch, $50, $60, $70.
I thought it was hours. Like if they had like a 30-hour game or something.
No, $34 or more. Which in that case, essentially, if it's over $30, it's going to be more than 30 hours.
I might. Well, you don't know. Somebody might make it $33.50.
Yeah, and that probably will be the gate. We'll probably start seeing that, which is also a win for the consumers because now you're saving a little bit more money.
Is it a true win for the developers, though?
That's the question. So honestly, I don't think that your big titles, Shaolin Keeson says, I'm late. What's the topic? Are we on? We're talking about the PlayStation, the new PlayStation announcement. So we just talked about God of War Ragnarok, which, yeah, you're welcome to rewind a little bit for that if you want to check that out. But now we're on to topic number two, which is talk about PlayStation Plus update, where PlayStation literally had said games that are now $34 or more are going to be required to have at least a 2-hour trial minimum for their premium members. So if you're PlayStation Extra, PlayStation Plus, or not a PlayStation member at all, but just own a PlayStation, you're not going to have access to these trials. It's only for their premium members. So the question's kind of up in the air. We got to see how they're going to roll it out. I am actually, like, I'm in the camp as far as, like, the more stuff you can bring the premium members, I'm for that because that's what I'm going for. Like, I'm going to get the premium title.
Yeah. My only question is, I feel like they need to do something also for the other members, too. At least for Extra also. Maybe release, like, a smaller demo or something. I do like demos and stuff, and I do support, like, believe that they should have more demos.
Well, they'll still have, and that was actually mentioned inside the article. This is not replacing demos.
Okay.
So they'll still have demos. They'll still have their free weekends. Yeah, they'll still have that. This is just trials in general. So if it's $34 or more, then if you're a premium member, you'll have access to try this for at least a minimum of 2 hours plus to see if you want to buy the game, pick it up for your own or anything like that. So it's an added benefit. In my humble opinion, I definitely get what you're saying. I 100% agree with you on that. On the flip side, I think they have too many options. I think it should just be PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Premium, and that's it. That's what I think. I think that middle tier just needs to kind of go.
Yeah, I see where you're going, because basically it's this, the middle tier. What it does Extra give?
It gives you PS4 and PS5 games too. So it does give you a nice little boost for sure. But now we're getting into that conversation where you're just like, I feel like they need to do something for the middle tier. Honestly, now at that point, you're doing a little too much. It's just like, all right, what can middle tier, you know what I mean? What tier is going to give you what? Yeah.
I feel like middle tier is built for those who don't care about the older game sets.
That's 100% what it is.
So yeah. it's more geared towards like the younger kids or like those kids who are like, you know, like they're like, you're gonna be like, hey, let's go play some Spyro, and they'll be like, fuck's that, you know? And they're just like, no, I'm like, yeah. So, you know, dad may have the premium, but the kids are like, we don't need that shit, you know? So.
Yeah, Shaolin Keith says, okay, yeah, that'll now. Just make the premium choice the most chosen. Yeah, yeah, they're, and that's exactly what you want. Like, it's, we do the same. Well, I know DSW does the same thing with their gold or their club gold and elite members. But then you also have other companies that will do the same thing too as well. They're adding benefits at the higher up you go because they want to appreciate you for spending money with us. And that's, yeah. And, yeah.
Xbox yeah, I'm Game looking Pass. At them. I'm looking at them right now. So, looks like, from what I'm seeing, PlayStation Plus, and by the way, this is on pushsquare.com, but from what I'm seeing, the PlayStation Plus Essential has monthly PlayStation 4 and 5 downloadable games and exclusive discount cloud service.
Yep.
And online multiplayer access, I'm sorry.
And for PlayStation 400, they have 400 titles that they can download.
PlayStation Plus Extra has a downloadable catalog. All
right, that,
they have the first two, and then they have that added on.
The 400, yeah, the 400.
Premium has the other three, but also has PlayStation 3 streaming games, PlayStation 1, 2, and PSP catalog download for downloading, catalog for download and streaming, and time-limited game trials.
Yep. And on top of that, keep in mind that there was some backlash as far as PlayStation 3 only streaming, and PlayStation is in the work, as had reported that they're in the works of trying to get that to where it's downloadable now.
Let's go get an emulator.
Hey, and again, going back to our friend Fredly over there, he specializes in game preservation. Oh, we didn't talk about that yet, did we?
No.
Okay. All right. Well. So I'm going over inside the pre-show.
You forget did that. Hear forget that.
You did not hear anything.
Yeah.
Shaolin, I don't know if he said this, but he said military is like, I think, a stepping stone for people who may be iffy about going premium, and that's true. A lot of times you do have those militaries just to get people interested. You know, I think it's a two-parter, to be completely honest. But in terms of gaming aspect, like for those of us who are like old school gamers, you know, our age and all, like you would want the premium because that's going to give you all your classicals, the stuff that Facts. You really love and what you got going on.
It's the
For
big
those who
sub.
Haven't done that, you know, it's a way to get in there. Now, if you've got people who want that, go into the 1 and 3, like into the 1, 2, and you know, 3s like that, then they'll probably step up into premium if they want to go delving, if they hear a lot of people on about it. So I'm pretty sure once you get premium launch and it goes good and you've got people online streaming playing these older games and doing this stuff, I'm pretty sure you'll probably see an increase then in premium purchases or upgrades to premiums because other people want to get to whatever game that their streamer's playing.
Right.
You know, you see a lot of that influencing going around. Me personally, I'm just going to stick with Plus. I'm going to use you two as guinea pigs on it. So
yeah, that's fine. I see you working over there in the mill, dude. I see you working. On the field. Well, let us know. That's what he's doing.
Go do it. I feel so privileged to be your guinea pig.
Yes, run, my minions, run.
But yeah, if you still have it up there, Nineball, can you take a look to see how much on an annual basis is extra is from premium, because I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's like $20 more. And if that's the case, you might as well just up it to a premium if you're going to go extra. You know what I mean? Because again, with this added benefit, like it's
the difference between the three. You think like, so, yeah, you're saying the difference between like here. 2 and 3?
Yeah.
So between extra and premium?
Yeah.
Okay, so extra monthly looks to be 14.
Annually.
And yearly?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yearly is $99. Basically,
so 100. Yeah, and the other one's 120, right?
120.
Yeah, so for $20 more, you might as well just upgrade and get 300 extra downloadable games.
Yeah, the big difference is basically going to be in PlayStation Essential to Extra, because Essential is $59 or $60 a year.
Yeah, that's
the standard. It's pretty much the PlayStation Plus now.
Yeah, it is the PlayStation Plus now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an additional $60 to upgrade to the premium per year, which, to be honest, like I said, if the games that they provide and if it all works, it's fantastic. It's a good idea, you know, depending upon the library and what they've got in there, how everything works and runs. I'm still just getting PTSD flashbacks from Nintendo's, you know, attempt at this, you know, trying to save a game you can't because it can't recognize a Nintendo cartridge installed, you know. So
they were lazy with it. I just hope that PlayStation not going to be taking the chapter out of their book. You know what I mean?
that's what I'm saying, is I'm hoping that they do better, but I'm not losing anything by waiting an extra month and having you two go first test it out, you know?
Yeah. As you already know, I'm A1 since day one, you know what I mean? Get that little hot sauce, little marinara on the side.
I know they took the sign down, said pool's open, and he goes jumping in into the deep end. They're like, sir, we haven't filled it.
He said, sir, we haven't filled it. Story number three that I have here. Because again, just to recap, premium.
Did you do B?
Premium. essential currently. Essential pending to premium. So story number three we have here. Tres. PS5 performance. You guys may have noticed this on your guys' latest updates. Luke Plunkett from Kotaku says this in the article. This is a two-parter, by the way, guys. Any PC gamers among you, or even more serious Xbox owners who have had this for years, will be familiar with technology called variable refresh rate, VRR for short. Mm-hmm. A feature that allows for a dynamic display refresh rate that can continuously, seamlessly vary on the fly. That feature is coming to PS5 consoles later this week. This is a lot more important than it sounds if you cherish visual fidelity and consistency in your games. By syncing your console and display to the same refresh rate, there's less likely to be lags or dips in quality between the two, which means stuff like screen tearing can be cut down or even eliminated. For now, the technical details. So this is part one. First, this update is arriving as part of a wider PS5 update later this week, but will only work on TVs and monitors that are HDMI 2.1 VRR compatible. So you need to check your display supports. Secondly, this won't flip like a magical game switch. Games will need to be individually patched to make use of VRR, so the timing and ultimately availability of that support is up to the individual studios and publishers. So that's part one of the PS5 performance. Part two, I believe this is just the same thing, but it's from game John Carson that gives a little bit more details, as well as games that's going to be available for that. So James Carson from Game Informer says this in the article. Sony has announced that its new feature is coming to PlayStation 5 this week. The long-awaited addition of variable refresh rates, VRR, is coming within the next few days, and a handful of games will support the feature in the upcoming weeks. In a blog post today, Hideaki Nishinoy, Senior Vice President for the Platform Experience at PlayStation, introduced VRR and described the basics of how it works. Quote, on HDMI 2.1 VRR compatibility TVs and PC monitors, VRR dynamically syncs the refresh rate of the display to the PS5 console's graphical output. This enhances the visual performance for PS5 games by minimizing or eliminating visual artifacts such as frame pacing issues and screen tearing, writes Nishinoy. Quote, it causes the game to look smoother overall and can be reduced input latency. As it says in the quote above, you'll need to monitor that supports VRR and an HDMI 2.1 port to use in any way. Many gaming monitors and TVs that utilize AMD's FreeSync technology, they're branded for the term for VRR, will be compatible with this new feature. So make sure yours does before enabling VRR on PlayStation 5. Several PlayStation 5 games will utilize VRR very soon, and the PlayStation blog post provides a list of which games we should be expect to roll out on VRR support this coming weeks. Those games are Astro's Playroom, Call of Duty Vanguard, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Destiny 2, Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition, Dirt 5, Godfall, Spider-Man Miles Morales, Spider-Man Remastered, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, Resident Evil Village, Tiny Tina Wonderland, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, and Tribes of Midgar. So now, I want to take it to Mildewy first. All right, because I know y'all both techie, but I gave the last one the nine ball, and I want to give it to Mildewy now. What does this mean for you? What are your thoughts about this? Give us your thoughts, old wise one.
It's good that they're bringing it in. But as I stated, though, it's like you have to have the games themselves have to enable it. So they've got to have that capability in there to do it in the game, for you to be able to get that optimization for VRR. Plus, also working with compatible TVs and monitors, some of those can be a little, well, the good ones nowadays can be a little expensive, but they're, because time has gone on, there's a lot of monitors out there you can probably get that are pretty good. As long as you get something with like FreeSync and all on it, it's, well, AMD's FreeSync is their term for VRR. But as long as you get that on there, I use an AMD, so that's what I use. I think, isn't G-Sync for NVIDIA there?
Yeah, we have G-Sync.
I think though they've got a new term, and I've forgotten it, that combines both. I'm going to have to Google that here in a minute. But as long as you've got that on there, you know, you're good. But, I mean, the list of games that they gave, there's a good number on there that I don't really play at all. I mean, I'm glad to see Spider-Man is definitely up there, because they had some very, very good animation sequences and scenes in there. Tiny Tina's, you know, that's nice and all. I don't really know too much about the other ones. Tribes of Midgard, I've seen some trailers on, but I haven't played it at all, so that's unique.
And we'll be talking about that a little bit later on today, too.
But I definitely like that they're including it, because then that way games that come out and come forward more will be able to take advantage of that, and you know, people would be able to get that smooth transition of scenes, those, you know, the good aesthetics on there. It probably would help with a lot of different streaming groups as well too, who do it, you know, that gives them like a probably a lot more smoother set to that. And I also like the syncing to, you know, with the syncs and all, like it keeps your monitors, because some monitors can go above what certain games or systems can put out in terms of frame rates. So to have it to where it syncs it downwards is very nice, instead of you having to try and manually adjust it to it, you know. My main thing is I just want to know if Kenner Bridge of Spirits is going to go backwards and install that just to make it even more beautiful than it already is. You know?
Yeah. I do want to give a quick shout out. Thanks for the sub, Literally Just Silent. Sub for 3 months. Good stuff, Silent. Guys. Hoping to be on tonight at some point. Love you, man. Yay. Love you, man.
Appreciate you, Silent. You're a beautiful person. Yeah, VRR, it's, I'm glad that they're stepping up with the stuff, getting more things installed, and I can't wait to see what games, you know, come out with it. So, you know, come out with it or upgrade to it, you know?
Yep. Agreed. Wholeheartedly agree. I'm gonna look Nine ball!
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about this? Yeah.
Corner pocket.
This is actually good. I mean, I didn't even know they didn't have it. I'm kind of surprised they didn't. I thought that would just be standardly on there. But I am glad that they're adding it. It's not too much to say here. It's something that needs to be put on there, and I'm hoping that the games will go along with it and add it, just throw it on there too. Because it really helps out with, like they said, things of screen tearing and certain issues and stuff.
Input latencies, frame rates, yeah.
Artifacting. Oh.
Interesting. Yeah. Obviously more performance that you're able to do to be able to go more fidelity, or like if you want to do performance types of games and stuff like that. Obviously, it's always a good thing. I'm definitely excited about this, and I can't wait for this week to see when that update goes live and see how much it's going to impact games moving forward. Because, I mean, I don't think it's going to impact any games currently besides the ones that's on the list right now. Once those updates happen, but moving forward, like developers can start making games with this in mind. I truly do believe. My question though, which is not on the article, but my question is this: when are they, or are they going to bring themes back to the PS5? I want to bring my Final Fantasy VII Remake background that is currently on my PS4. I want to put it on my PS5. You know what I mean? Like that was one of the things that was really cool. You can change your background and all that good stuff, and that was something that was missing from the PS5. Which again, a clean premium experience, I get it. But if I wanted to have that option to change my background, I would like to have that option. That's just me. That's just me. I mean, so
I didn't know. So you can't add your original background.
No, I can change my emblem. So like, if we were to log on right now, you can see that I have AOWT Gaming tag, like what you guys see right here inside the little corner right here. You guys can see that as my profile picture. So I was able to do that. I had to finesse that for a little bit, but you're able to see that now. But the actual background, like the actual themes, to where like if like the little icons of games, like if it's Final Fantasy VII, it'd be like the little boop boop boop, all that good stuff. That's not there. It's just you can't switch that at all. There's no background changes. Shaman Keith says, which Final Fantasy VII remake theme did you have on the group theme and the Tifa theme? I had the one where it was Midgar. That was up, like it was just the top screen, and then when you went down to your games or up to the, this is all PS4 that I'm talking, by the way. When you went down, then you would see Cloud with his big old sword right there. But when you go up back to the main, like top of the all the other icons up top, you would just see Midgar, and it was just so beautiful. Music's playing in the background. I have a Final Fantasy X one too. I have a Dragon Ball Xenoverse one. I have so many themes on my PS4, and none of them are transferable to the PS5 because PS5 doesn't have themes right now. Just a small little quality of life thing. Just from an artistic standpoint, I would like to have themes. That's just really what it is.
Well, it wasn't that. I'm just surprised because I had a couple of mine. I never thought to put them back on yet.
Yeah.
But I had a couple of mine on there, and I never thought. I thought you just put them back whenever you wanted to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't really think about it on the PS5 because it's already a clean look. But if you wanted to personalize it even more, you can already change the outside of the PS5, get different color controllers. Might as well just let me do the actual software portion of it too and just have themes up on my background. That's just my two cents. Again, not even part of any of the story, just something I was just thinking about.
That's coming update 21.105.1 million.
Something like that. He says, gotcha. Yeah, themes need to make a comeback. I wish Jujutsu Kaisen had a theme. Bro, don't even get me started. Let me get that Gojo background. You know what I mean?
The one where he's just decked like three guys across the field. With
something like that. When he takes I would buy that theme. I would spend real money for that theme. If you had the one.
Malachi's like, $50. It's only $10, sir. $50.
Take it. Yeah, the minute he brings out his bandana, brings it down, you see the domain in his eyes. I would definitely buy that. Before we get to story number four, though, I do want to remind you guys that we have a fantasy gaming league, and it works just like fantasy football. But instead of it being on a weekly basis versus one person, you're against everybody that's in the league at the same time on an annual basis. Shaolin Keese, next year when we do this for 2023, you got to get inside this. You know what I mean? Have a little fun with us. And it's, yeah.
What I said, Yuta Stan right here, the real MVP.
Yuta from Jujutsu Kaisen. He loves Yuta. So he's a stalker and a fan of Yuta, which is what Stan is for. So again, back to the Fantasy Gaming League. It is on a 100-point scale. Anything that's above, that scores above 70 points on Metacritic, gains you points. Anything below loses you points. And then there's also something out there called counterpicks, to where if you counterpick something that is on another person's list and it does not come out, then you just screwed them up because they can't drop that game for another game. If it does come out and does poorly, then they lose the points, yes, but you gain those points because you called it right. And if it does come out and does greatly, then they gain those points, but then, sadly, you lose those points. So, the list reads like this. And I'm going to go in order from top, who's in the number one top dog seat, down to who's in the lowest seed right now. And in number one is, wouldn't you know it, still MOGA, Make Ohio Great Again. He has the following games. Elden Ring, which got a 95 on Metacritic, got him 31 points. Pokemon Legends Arceus got 84 points on Metacritic, got him 14 points. Sifu scored 80 on Metacritic, got him 10 points. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga got 82 on Metacritic, got him 12 points. Marvel's Midnight Suns pending. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge pending. And he has two open spots, and he correctly counterpicked Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which is on Renzoku Ken's list, which is not coming out this year. And he is currently in first place with 66 points. In second place is our former winner, Carrot Patch Inc., Mildewy Carrot. He has Gran Turismo 7, got him 87 points on Metacritic, 17 points. Forspoken, pending. Tunic, 85 on Metacritic, got him 15 points. Splatoon 3 pending. Stray pending. Salt and Sacrifice pending. Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 reboot camp pending. Hogwarts Legacy pending. And he has a counter pick of Jocobo GP, which did drop, but it did 65. So he got 5 points from that, putting him in second place. And that was Jocobo GP was also on Rinzoku Ken's list. In third place.
He just bullied Rinzoku Ken.
In third place is yours truly, representing ALWT Gaming. Still thinking for the sub. Has ALWT Gaming. I have Horizon Forbidden West. Got an 88 on Metacritic, 18 points. A Plague Tale Requiem, pending. Starfield, pending. Ghostwire Tokyo, got 77 on Metacritic, 7 points. Gotham Knights, pending. Redfall, pending. King of Fighters, 15. 81 points on Metacritic, 11 points. Mario Strikers Battle League, pending. Bayonetta 3 is my counterpick, which is on the Illuminatus Living's list. In fourth place is It's the Nine Ball, representing Zaka Corp. I said that backwards. Zaka Corp, which is represented by It's Nine Ball. He has Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which got him 79 on Metacritic, got him 9 points. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, pending. Saints Row, pending. Total War Warhammer 3, 86 points on Metacritic, 16 points. Senua's Saga's Hellblade 2, pending. Xenoblade Chronicles 3, pending. Warhammer 40k Dark Tide, pending. He has an open spot, and he has a counter pick of Marvel's Midnight Suns, which is on Make Ohio Great Again's list. In fifth place is Rinzoku-kun with God of War Ragnarok, pending. Triangle Strategy, got 83 on Metacritic, 13 points. Suicide Squad killed the Justice League, not coming out this year. Chocobo GP, 65 on Metacritic, negative 5 points. Kirby in the Forgotten Land, 85 on Metacritic, 15 points. Final Fantasy 16, pending. Metroid Prime 4, pending. He has an open spot. He has a counter pick of Diablo Immortal, which is on Illuminata's Living's list.
That is coming out.
And lastly, well, here's the thing. I think it's going to come out, but I don't think it's going to do well. But we'll see. And lastly is Illuminata's Living with 9 points, who has Dying Light 2, Stay Human, 76 points, 6 on Metacritic. Or 76 on Metacritic, 6 points. That was a lot of points. It was 76 points. Bayonetta 3, pending. Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, 73 on Metacritic, 3 points. Mario plus Rapid Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortal, pending. Shovel Knight Dig, pending. He has 2 open spots, and he has a counter pick of Saints Row, which is on Zaka Corp's list. So he's there you have it.
Zaka Corp's.
That is our current list right now for the Fantasy Gaming League. And I also want to take this moment to tell you guys about Rep Sports, REPPSports.com. Type in ALWT Gaming at checkout if you guys like Razor Energy drinks and get yourself 15% off. All I did is just type in ALWT Gaming. Checkout. Zero sugar. Zero sugar. Oh, man, I'm going to talk about the calories. But zero sugar. All right.
We're not going to talk about the calorie or the caffeine.
Yeah, you know. But it's quite delicious. It's quite delicious. They got guava mango. They got Galaxy Starburst. They got sour gummy worms. Let that sink in. Sour gummy worms. You know what I mean? So just let that happen. ALWT Game Out checkout. Type it and get 15% off your Raise Energy drinks. Get your pack sent to you. Tell them we sent you. Thank you. Good night. But it's not good night because we're going on to story number 4, which is preservation for PlayStation Nation bars. You know what I mean? Bars. So here we go. Ryan Dinsdale from IGN says this in the article. PlayStation has created a new team of focusing on game preservation, revealed by a new employee's Twitter and LinkedIn posts, as spotted by the Video Games Chronicle, aka VGC. The division will focus preserving PlayStation IPs to ensure our industry's history isn't forgotten. Garrett Fredley said this in a new said his new role of senior build engineer is one of PlayStation's initial hires for the newly created preservation team. This is a tweet from Garrett. Today is my first day as senior build engineer at PlayStation, working as one of their initial hires for the newly created preservation team. Game preservation was my first career passion, so I'm ecstatic that I get to go back to those roots. PlayStation Studios global QA manager Mike Bishop hired Fredly and said in another post, presumably about the same team, that day-to-day focus is on IP preservation for the business, ensuring that titles of today are captured, cataloged, and secured for games industry of tomorrow. With Fredly being an initial hire, the preservation team still appears to be in its early stages, but will seemingly focus on ensuring longevity of PlayStation games that date as far back as 1994 when the original console was released. I want to start off this one. Bring back Bloody Roar. Give me Dragon's Dogma. Give me Legend of Dragoon. Give me the Bouncer. You know what I mean? Just give me stuff that I have been banging out about for the past 30 plus years of my life. Okay? That's all I want to say. I think this is a good idea. I think this is a great idea. Especially for those that are really wanting to have that nostalgia and wanting to go back and play a Final Fantasy VII Remastered. Want to go ahead and play freaking...
That's what it was.
I don't even know. I know you say Stardust, Star Ocean all the time, and I know that's the Xbox thing, but hey, like those styles of games, just bring it back to the just bring it up, bring it back to us. What's up there, Mildewy?
Give me Drakengard.
Drakengard. Give it Drakengard. You know what I mean? Let it happen.
I want Silent Hill 2 and Parasite Eve.
That's it. Silent Hill, Parasite Eve. Bring back Metal Gear Solid by Konami. You know what I mean? Just let it happen. But yeah, so that's my thoughts about that.
Speaking of which, I have some Konami news.
Yeah, is it the one about where they shut down online service for about 91 games?
No.
Save it, because we're gonna insert that on the fun one. Because I was trying to find another fun one and I couldn't. So now that you have Konami news, put a pin in it, and then we're gonna come back to it when we get to the fun one section. But Nineball, since you're on a roll, but it's. What are your thoughts about this preservation for PlayStation Nation?
Really?
Something they need to be doing anyway. I mean, they need to be saving these games. I mean, it used to be a lot easier back in the olden days because there was a lot more things on physical media to where you could always save a disc or something like that. But as things turn more and more digital, it's harder and harder to get those.
Facts.
Putting these onto, let's say, an emulator or something like that, which allows you to keep them and continue to play them and maybe let your kids enjoy them as they get older without having to go, who knows, dig up a PlayStation 1. I mean, think about it, 5 to 10 years down the road, you really think they're going to have RGB cables on TVs?
I don't think they do anymore, period.
How many, all right, besides us old folks, how many kids would know RGB cable is?
Yeah, like, is that a WWE?
We ain't gonna talk about coaxial cables.
All right, now I'm feeling old, just from you talking about this shit, and I'm all stop it.
All right,
let me go and pick up a new coax cable from Walmart with my Walkman.
Oh my!
Nah, let me go to Radio Shack.
Radio Shack. Wow.
That's like telling the kids you gotta rewind the VHS.
Be kind, rewind.
Oh, my tape player.
But ultimately, what I'm hearing though is that you're happy about this in retrospect.
Yeah, it was always a market. That's why emulators were so big.
Yeah,
people like. I mean, I understand where you come from. Where yeah, you buy a new console, buy a new system, but every so often you get this nostalgia feeling. I want to play. Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to go back and play Parasite Eve. So now I can go back, I can replay it, and it's readily available to where I don't have to go out and find some weird thing to connect my PlayStation 1 to just to play it. Or let's say I want to play a game, Intelligence Cube, on the PlayStation. Well, I don't have to go either A, get a PlayStation Mini, or B, would have to go, like I said, fish out an RGB cable to play these. You don't have to do that no more.
Yeah.
With emulator stuff like that, you're able to play them, and you're able to keep them with you. And it doesn't really, like most people say, it doesn't hurt PlayStation, because whether you buy them used or not, you're not going to buy them new. PlayStation is not necessarily, it's not making the game no more. And the good thing about this is it keeps the thing going and it allows people to continue to enjoy those without, I would say, compromising PlayStation, Sony, or anything like that. So I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I'm you go, guy.
Let the record show, too, as well, that Shaolin Keys is also in agreement for this because his three flames and his three hunnids. That three hunnids. That's up in the chat.
You know 100%. What
I
mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he's down for that.
I
know.
He's a bonfire and doing the signal.
He's a fighting game fan, so he likes himself some Tekken. He likes himself some Dragon Ball Fighters, all that good stuff. So I know that the fire was coming when I said Bloody Roar and the Bouncer. You know what I mean? Don't sleep on it. What about you, Mel, dude? What are your thoughts?
I'm in agreement they need to do this because you see a lot of these games just going by the wayside, and you talk to some kids about it, they're like, what's that? You know? Like, they don't understand where games came from a lot of times, or like, you know, they don't understand like what it used to be like. So having the capability of being able to pull up on a current gen system and say, are you really want to know what gaming started off like? You know, go back here and play some Dragon Age, you know, go back to the beginning of, you know, when you get to choose your own game, you get to choose your own stories, you know, go play some Coder, you know, be able to do those games. Like, and it helps us as the older versions, because as we get older, you know, we're like kind of like, we were like kind of like almost beginning points for a lot of these consoles. You know, we were like, when we were young is when they were really first out and started going, we were the ones paying into it. We were the ones investing into that future, you know, of gaming world and getting it going further and further as we bought more games, played more hours, you know, we're online, you know, paying for all this stuff. So to have the capability of going back and playing our history and nostalgia, that's glory to us, you know, that's hallelujah, you know, we can't wait for it, you know. So to be able for them to say, we want to make an emulator for the PlayStation Network to be able to, you know, preserve our games, to be able to bring them forward into the current century, you know, I'm 100% yes behind it all the time. And I wish other systems were doing this. You know, I know Nintendo just tried their own thing for it, you know, good try, you know, I'll give you a C for effort, a C minus for effort. You know?
I will say it's a
D minus for execution, though.
Apparently, though, it's gotten better. Now, I don't jump on Nintendo
good.
That. Yeah, I don't they, jump on Nintendo like that. But yeah, apparently, it did have a big.
Sensei took a look at it and go, try again. It's like you get one two over. Yeah. But I'm definitely all for it, because one thing that kind of hurts me a lot is losing all these games, like losing all these old school games I used to play and all that I regret sometimes not getting and trying to find them. Like, I can't tell you how much I paid to get when it went off the system. Well, no, like so the Dot Hack Root series was originally launched on PlayStation 2. But then it just stopped because they stopped producing it. Like, me and my brother paid, like, I think probably maybe around $200-$300 when we were back in high school to get those PlayStation 2 game cases, those games, to get them. Because, like, they just, as soon as they stopped producing them, they sold out. Like, people were just buying them out because that's the only way you could get it. But then they came out with the Legacy version for 4, if I remember right, which was awesome. You know, I'm glad they did that. But it also is just like, it's one of those things that's like, you wish you could get other games for it. Because there's like a bunch of other games. Like I said, Dragon Guard is back on PlayStation 2. But it's like, you know, I think my PlayStation 2 is in storage and I can try to hook it up. Like, you can't really do that like with PlayStation 2s or, you know, even the older systems. Because you got to have those RGB cables or, base HDMIs. And then not only that, but a lot of the problem was like, even some of my old PC games, which is one of the problems, like some of my old MechWarrior games, MechWarriors 1 and 2, like I can't play them on my current gen PC because a lot of the architecture doesn't allow for it.
You would
because
have to, this.
There's like a DDoS or something like security file in there that you have to kill, and it's such a pain in the ass to do. I think one of the games, they've already got a community where they've made an emulator for it, but like the other ones, like I haven't looked into it recently, they may have done something further for it, but that's why I like emulators. Because these aren't people trying to steal games. They're trying to make the games playable again for those of us who want to play them on current gens. So I will always support emulators. Nintendo, stop shutting down the ones for putting Pokemon on phones. Come on, guys.
I do want to say, because you guys are going to
sorry, I rated there. About,
no, you're good. So, yeah, so I do, I honestly, I think this is great news. I don't think this is going to happen until maybe 2024, as far as us seeing, because what I'm seeing this as, maybe a little, I take that back, maybe it'll be 2023, because I really do think that this is just going to be additive bonuses for the premium members of PlayStation Plus. I think that's what they're going to bring it to, because that's all it is. Like, PlayStation Plus premium is going to have access to the PS1, PS2, PS3, and the PS Vita / PSP games. So that's what I think that they're trying to double down a little bit more on. And we'll have to see about that. But what we don't have to see is when we're going to get the next Xbox, because story number five is Xbox is getting easier to get. John Walker from Kotaku says this in their story. After an astonishing 17 months since release, Microsoft's latest generation of Xbox is finally more easily available. As a result, the publisher is seeing its first good month for sales in a long while, with Xbox Series S and X bringing in more money than even Nintendo Switch. In breaking business news, it turns out that if you have a product available, a lot more people will buy it. That's the revelation Microsoft has encountered. Now that Xbox Series S and X are at last more likely to show up in stores, both physical and online, according to NPD's sale data, this has led to Microsoft bringing in more money than its rivals in March 2022, despite the Switch outselling the Series S/X in terms of individual units. That's another thing. That's a big thing to say, because even though people will be bragging about the Switch was the best console for 5 years or whatever like that, straight 36, 84 months, whatever, the thing about it is that Switch is literally like $200. Like, it was extremely cheap to get a Switch at the time. And on top of that, it's portable, so there's multi-use for it. As opposed for a Xbox or a PlayStation, you have to dock it to your TV or a monitor. So there's that. Plus, there's a more quality. Like, the games on there is going to be a lot more quality, because the systems are stronger in power to be able to hold games that are AAA and AA and stuff like that to the caliber that we expected at. So with this being said, this doesn't really surprise me too much, because I kind of figured that Nintendo would be, again, up there, because it's cheaper, easier to get, have your kids play with it for a little bit. All these parental controls that you could put too as well on the Switch, more than you can on the Xbox and the PlayStation. But this is something that's just like, okay, cool. Now we're starting to see more of a regular sale go through for Xboxes being inside the stores. I'm just waiting for PlayStation to have its turn too as well, so that way everyone can just get themselves a PlayStation, get themselves an Xbox Series X, and then we can just move forward industry-wise to where we can just focus on the next-gen titles versus having to make stuff for backwards, like last gen as well. You know what I mean? So, power to them. This is nothing but good news, I would say. Like, more Xboxes in stores. I'm for it.
Yeah. It's definitely nice, but the way I see the future going, especially with that announcement that, you know, this PlayStation 5 is our last console and all, I kind of feel like we're going to go to the point. I am very fishy on that one, too. I said that, but I'm like, if that's the case, then they've got to go to something to where they can put it all online on a PC system. That it can be played on almost any format of form of PC.
It's never worked, because you got Stadia and Luna out already, and who talks about Stadia and Luna?
Yeah, but at the same time, Stadia and Luna doesn't have the gaming experience of background Microsoft has.
Is that what they put in the trash can and then pulled out the Steam Deck?
That's the thing they use to pick up your trash. Oh, Mom, look, Stadia's here for the dumpsters.
And Luna's here to clean our windows.
Apparently Luna's not that bad. It's Stadia, that's a joke.
I've heard in the past about interchangeable parts for the consoles. I've heard this before tossed around.
But that would mean they're making them into PCs, which is like, we've already got PCs. So.
Yeah, they're technically in some ways already PCs.
They are. So are you talking about... Now, here's the thing. If they're not marketing as
this
like
is a, really happening. I've heard this tossed around, but...
I mean, it's a good idea, but it's like, you definitely have to make it to where it's like, because if you're going to do that, it's cool. You're just going to have to really make it to where it can work as a PC. which is would be a $500 PC, which is cheaper than, to be honest, any other, most of the ones that you can get out there.
But the problem, that's true, but there is a bit of a problem. I was watching Carlton Marsh a long time ago. He's talking about one of the big things with consoles is simply convenience. You get the box, you set it up, you plug it up, it's ready to go. You don't have to build it. That's why he's talking about the difference between consoles and PCs, because he said that's a big thing for console players. You can, you don't have to build it. You don't have to put this part on. You don't have to worry about that part connecting. Did you get the right CPU and stuff?
You don't have to worry about certain.
It's a it's a pre-built, like kind of like if you go into a, into like a Best Buy or you know other PC shop where you buy a pre-built tower is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay. The problem is a lot of times if you're going to talk about interchangeable parts or anything, that's when you get into like, what are you going to allow to be interchanged, you know, and what are you going to be allowed to add on? Like right now for the PS5, they only allow you to add in the extra NVMe to get more memory space.
Have they, speaking of which, what have they, what more have they said about that?
I just know NVMe's have gone down in price. Other than that, I haven't heard of a new list coming out. So, I may need to Google that again, see if they've got anything else on there. But as of right now, I mean, like, if NVMe's have gone down in pricings, you can probably get a, like, 2-terabyte one or something for cheap. You know, well, cheaper than what you could have beforehand. And the reason why it's gone down in pricing, from what I've heard, is that because the NVMe's are so much easier to make than, like, say, an SSD and all. Plus, like, you know, the fact that they just connect directly into the motherboard.
Yeah, just put it on the
it's read and write speed is so much faster than the SSDs. Where the, I was talking to a guy at Micro Center that we have here, and he was like, yeah, it's just because he said the SSDs pretty much are becoming archaics in a way. They're becoming like legacy devices. So they're actually going to go up in pricing more. I was like, oh, shit. I dude, I stopped paying attention like 2 years ago just because I was like, I was in such a COVID funk. So, but yeah, so NVMe's are definitely the way to go now, and to be honest, with that in mind, I'm probably right now I run SSDs currently, but it's like on my next build format I'm probably just going to be doing an NVMe build. So the problem with NVMe's though is that when you put them into the motherboard, and this is me going off on a tech rant right now, sorry guys, is it kills your SATA ports because it takes away the functionality from it, unless the boards have increased capabilities going forward to allow SATA port for extra hard drive input, which would be awesome because you could run 2-terabyte NVMe's on there, and then like you got like 3 slots for another 2 terabytes or however many other things to get a shit ton of memory. But regardless, back on topic, because Malachi is looking really bored there. If they do make the consoles like a form of portable PC, kind of like what Steam Deck was doing, you know, where it's like it's a portable game thing but can be used as a mini computer. That, I think, could definitely be something cool going forward, but because it's so compatible, is my only concern, is that you, when you have to upgrade it, you're going to have to buy a new one. You know, unfortunately, they're kind of like max right now. It's where it's like, you can maybe do one upgrade, but then if you want something better, you're going to have to buy the newest model, which really irks me, you know, as a PC builder. So, but, you know, that's all security, that's all them, whatever, cool. The game systems, though, should last for a long time, though, the way they are. So that's the only thing, is where you run into problems is like, you know, as you go further into the future, as we've seen with games on Steam and all, the requirements for it keep building and building and building. So after maybe 10 years, maybe your PS5 is no longer valid. Well, at that point, hopefully you learned and saved up enough to get a PS6 if they do it, you know.
It's always going to be a problem with consoles with that, because to be honest, how technology moves forward so fast. Oh, yeah. Everything that launches, like I have an NVMe currently. I just bought like on a Black Friday in my other room. I have 2 SSDs. I bought them for like $40-$50. Mm-hmm. They're like 2 1-terabyte SSDs, 1 and 2 terabyte SSDs sit in my room over there. I haven't installed them or anything yet, but
again,
yeah, I'm gonna get to them eventually. It's just I don't feel like going yet.
Sorry, it's a tease between the two of us. He keeps like.
I'll get them eventually. They we'll put them in there one day. But when I put my NVMe in, it killed 2 of the SATA ports, the 2 top ones.
Yeah, that's what happens, is it kills those SATAs.
That, besides that, I think mine's is about 8 SATA ports in there, because the other 6 work fine. It's just only the top 2 it took out. But they normally, this is why when you're installing them, you have to have your, probably best to have your book. Because it'll tell you when you install, like, the SATA or the RAID, what it's going to take out.
Yeah, which one?
The only thing about PlayStation is that PlayStation not only requires an NVMe, but it requires a specific speed of NVMe. Not every NVMe works. It has to be a certain write speed.
I came in with them up again.
Yeah, came in with the right speed is.
Yeah, we talked about a couple months back, and it was showing as far as it had to have heat sink on it, obviously, and all that good stuff.
You could get one without heat sink, but you're going to have to get a heat sink for it, because what they're stating is that they don't provide heat sink inside the system, guys. So, so if you're going to get one without a heat sink, you need to get your own heat sink to attach onto it, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Trying to look here, pulling up a list now. Yeah, like, so like, here's some, like, they got like a Western Digital SN850 for like $89 on Amazon.
Yeah, but I will wait. Actually, Amazon's looking I was just seeing some stuff on the news about them going into their Prime Day sales, which should be coming up either June or July,
which kind of correlates with Steam sales coming up in June. Or July, so got some sales come up. And to be honest, one thing that me and Nineball can say is just wait for the sales, guys. You don't need to get it right now. The sales are going to be your best times to get these things for cheap. And a lot of this tech can last for long. Like, point in case, Malachi's computer that he's running is actually one of my first rigs I built, and it's still going strong, and he's still playing good games on it, guys. So that thing is at least, I want to say, 8 years old probably right about now, and it's still going strong.
Yeah,
and it's like Gen 1 architecture almost.
Well,
that's
the thing.
Things.
Oh.
Well, and as I was about to say, back to the console portion of it, like they're saying, wait for the sales, because if you're lucky enough to have an Xbox Series X or a PS5, if you have to delete a game and reinstall it, it doesn't take that long. Like, it really doesn't. Just because the SSDs as in both, you have a game that would have been 80, 90 gigs, you're downloading it within 15 minutes flat. Now, granted, it will depend on your internet speed, so I will say that that still is a factor, but that still is going to be much faster.
That's a you problem.
That's still going to be much, much faster than you trying to download something on your PS4 or your Xbox One still.
Looks like write speeds are around 5,500.
That was it. 5,500 was the requirement that they wanted.
Yeah, that's a write speed. Now, to be honest, guys, if you were to look up any solid states right now, I think solid states around 500 to 1,000
for solid state drives.
I think so.
In the meantime, what I was going back to, and to be honest, on consoles, is that the big thing about consoles is that we were talking about earlier with the consoles and them aging. Consoles most of the time will launch, but they've already been, they're sort of in that obsolete. Or they're still good. I'm not saying they're bad. They're still good, but they're gonna quickly go out because everything moves up fast.
I don't even remember what gen we're getting ready to launch here for PC parts.
Yeah, well, about the I watched Intel was about the grade. Intel, I think it's on 11 or 12 actually.
Yeah, I think AMD's on 4 or 5.
But consoles seem to be doing good. I mean, the new consoles are great. We, like I said, we are PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 speeds are excellent. Their write speed's really good. I have not really encountered a lot of problems. Now, I know the consoles are way bigger, but this is to address the heat problems that really plagued a lot of them in the last generation. My PlayStation 4, like, I had to warm it up, like, the other day to do something, and it still sounds like a jumbo jet. Sounds like a Boeing 747 taking off in the other room.
Yeah, break like a 6 hour ready to take off. And one Gears of War now.
You don't even realize how slow they go until you go to a 4, and then you turn it on, you're like,
wait a minute. I'm not used to this.
Or you plug an Anthem on a 5.
But yeah, either way, regardless, I will say the again, more Xbox Series X's on the shelves for people to go ahead and get, easier to get. Which is the initial story. Don't let us confuse you.
Yeah, we kind of went off the rails.
You got
there.
You got two techies. You know, we went a little. Oh, look.
And then we got a couple fun ones for you guys. I want to throw one out to you, and then Nineball has the other one. This is actually a leak, so take it with a grain of salt. But it's looking likely it's going to be happening as a PlayStation Plus leak. Stephen Petit from GameSpot says this in the article. Once again, it appears that the next batch of free games on PlayStation Plus subscribers has leaked early. The leak comes from DLabs, a French gaming site that has correctly reported PlayStation Plus lineups for more than 6 months now. According to the leak, the PlayStation Plus lineup for May 2022 includes FIFA 2022, which I'm assuming they're doing that because of the World Cup this year. Curse of the Dead Gods, I have no idea what that is, and Tribes of Midgar, which we had announced earlier, is going to end up getting a performance boost at some point. I think this week, actually. So
that's with the VRR.
Yeah, VR, yeah. So, yeah, so there you have it. If those games intrigue you, and the Tribes of Midgar, we might go ahead and do a 9-to-5 on that one next month. That might be the game that we do a 9-to-5 for, is Tribes of Midgar. So if you guys are wanting
I'm
to
just
check that
loving
out,
this.
Heard of that this, game. I yeah. don't really know
what
it is.
It's on my list.
Survival, for sure.
Yeah, it's survival defense, roguelike. It's top-down, pretty much. Pretty much set like in Nordic like settings with Vikings and all.
Yeah.
But it's a top-down kind of like Diablo. It's co-op roguelike action. Other than that, I don't survival. You know, so I don't remember too much about it. So I'll have to go and like check out a video on it and see. But
yeah,
it definitely piqued my interest just because of Viking on it.
I have a little review right here from a little statement here from Silent inside the chat. Because we were talking about it earlier. He says, I asked him how many players is Tribes. He says it can hold up to 10 players. A game is a co-op survival gather mixed in with sort of a tower defense. I enjoy it and will play the heck out of it with friends. So that was one that I saw it, didn't interest me. Then I saw the gameplay, interest me. Then I saw more of the gameplay. I was like, all right, well, let me see what happens with this. And then I was going to see if it came on Game Pass. I think it was on Game Pass at one point, but
I'm watching that video right now.
Yeah, when it comes down to the amount of, like, when it comes down to overall systems that I use, top of the list is PlayStation. Right behind that would be my PC. Then behind that would be Xbox. Then behind that would be Switch. And then PS4 and all that good stuff. Ooh. So,
yeah, this one might be up your alley because it looks like it's got a lot of dungeon raid stuff, too.
Yeah. So it definitely seemed interesting. But now that's going to be on Plus. It's just more of like a, all right, well, I don't have to buy it now. I can just, well, it's
rumored.
Supposedly that's going to be on Plus. So now I don't have to, yeah, likely I don't have to buy it. I just have to download it and play it. Anyways. So like I said,
I'm just excited to get the FIFA 2022 so I can just bring out my inner Malachi and just scream at people because it's a foul, even though it's not, you know.
That one actually is one that surprised me because, like, usually sports games that come to Plus, it's usually just basketball, maybe baseball, but usually it's basketball. And of course, if you want to count UFC and stuff like that, which is more of a hobby than a sport, but I honestly get it. Both of those, I would like, those are the ones that usually come to Plus. I've never really seen a FIFA game come to Plus. So, like, and I'm, let alone 22, which obviously the season is kind of like over. because they always put the games out the year before, so this actually was out since like September. But again, going back to my statement, I think they're doing this because of the World Cup that's happening this summer. Just kind of getting people excited and hyped up for that, and be able to get people to get ready to get the next FIFA, whatever it may be. Because again, they it's rumored that they're not, that EA is not going to be calling it FIFA. They're not going to obtain the FIFA license moving forward.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was one of the things we talked about on Astoria. Probably about 2 months ago, roughly. At the end of the year, there's this next FIFA. It may not be called FIFA. And on top of that, it was also rumored that the next FIFA will finally be cross-play, which is what I think of should have been happening a long time ago with all sports games, really. So, yeah. There you have it. The other fun one, though.
Interjection. Nine volt. read and write speeds, I believe, for SSDs were around 3,300. Sorry, I misspoke beforehand. So it seems like their speeds are around like 33s or so. So it's like the NVMe's definitely kick it up an extra notch.
And keeping it on, it's a nine ball. What is your fun one for us?
Okay, so I got two.
Okay.
The first one, I'm going to hit two fun ones. The first one is Valheim has surpassed 10 million just over a year after release.
Believe it.
Yep.
They actually Viking, have been updating it.
Yep. The Viking game survival Valheim has reached 10 million players despite the fact it released only just a year ago. Announced via the Valheim Twitter account today, the Iron Gate Studio game has surpassed 10 million Vikings since it has launched via early access in February 2021. According to a press release highlighting the monumental achievement, Valheim has hit the number of impressive milestones since launch, including an all-time peak player of 502,000 and an overwhelmingly positive review on Steam with more than 293,000 reviews, 95% which are positive.
Well, there you go.
And this was done on Games Radar by Hope Bellingham. The other one is Yu-Gi-Oh! So as some of us, yep, so as some people know, and it's been going around, it's not been looking good, and they're trying to make some changes, and this recently they released a ban list. They're updating it.
Okay.
Now, is this TCG or is this actually across also Master Duel?
This is Master Duel's ban list. They have it in the main. It's expected to go into effect May 9th.
So a week, almost a little over a week.
But now, the ban list sort of missed a lot of cards to the dismay. Like I have like DZ and who's that Farfa and them, and a lot of them weren't too happy because the ban wasn't too strict there.
So they're doing a different ban list than TCG.
Yes.
Why?
For starters, they didn't even bring my multi-faker to 3, which I've seen DZ, and I feel his pain. I'm an Altergeist player. If everybody else is going to have theirs cranked up, why is multi-faker at 1? Make multi-faker great again. Unban the faker. Okay, Malty the Faker, okay? Put his name, make his name true. Malty the Faker. But cards to be limited. Cyber Angel Benton and Conquistador of the Golden Land. Now, these are supposed to be hit on the Drytron engine because Benton does a lot of searching for bringing up the Herald of Ultimateness, but they missed, like, Ava. And Ava's just an absolute terror on that game because Ava's effect is when you send Ava to the graveyard, you can banish 2 cards and draw and search your deck for two level two monsters and put them into your hand. This is just fuel for the Herald of Ultimateness. And most of them are search out like the Herald of Orange Light is the one they usually search the most because its effect is you can just discard it plus another fairy monster to negate effect monster on the field.
Who's one fairy that they keep discarding? One, it's all you need is one on your deck and you just constantly keep back. It's like that little like alien guy.
That's Ava. That's who they needed to ban.
Yeah, Ava needs to get going. Sorry.
Conquistador of the Golden Land really doesn't do nothing against Eldritch decks. I don't know what they was doing. And certain cards were dropped to be semi-limited, which was the following. DD Dynamite got dropped to 2, which it needs to be either completely banned. Sekka's Light, Fusion Destiny, the Phantom Knights of Torrent Scale, Tri-Brigade Fractal, and Virtual World Lao Lao, Lyrilis, Cobalt Sparrow, and Prank Kid Roxy's and Adamancipator Analyzer. Which, those decks are broken, but this is not going to fix it.
No.
They really need to get somebody. They need to. I don't know why they're dropping the DD Dynamite down to 2. They need to straight up ban it. DD Dynamite is out of control.
Oh, yeah.
You face a DD Dynamite decks to where they just banish your entire side deck and just boom, boom, hit you with two dynamites, you didn't get a chance to play.
Nope. Oh, you're talking about those trap cards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. That I had.
Looks like some porcupine bowman.
Yeah, your entire side deck, and then they just hit you with 2DD dynamite.
Yeah, and that literally is the yeah. Because for a minute there, I'm not gonna lie to you, you're speaking a whole bunch of Spanish until you said that last little bit, and I was like, okay, now I get what you're saying. With that being said, that's exactly. I know that a lot of people are like, well, Yu-Gi-Oh, like what you try to do, you try to end it in one turn. That's not playing a game. That's just not playing. Like, there's nothing fun in that. Like, there shouldn't be cards out there that don't give the other person even a chance to fight back. And that's exactly why I find frustrating whenever I run into those types of scenarios. I haven't ran into those lately a lot, which is good. But I did that exact combo that you just said, where if they go first, they literally do all this stuff. It's my turn. I draw a card. They start doing all this stuff before I even put a card down. And then it's game over.
Yeah. It's a lot of bots that do that, which is just trash on that because it just kills the game.
Yeah.
And one card that was just removed from Limitless is Red Eyes Darkness Metal Dragon, which I'm still mad. Like, I keep saying, where's my, I want my multi-faker at 3. And nobody, they didn't even ban Imperial Order.
Why would they?
That the card's busted. It stopped.
I know it's busted. I'm being facetious, Nightmare. Oh,
I'm sorry. So, you know what that card does, right, Flash?
You had to tell me.
Okay, so when you flip that card, you cannot play no spell cards.
I haven't came across that.
Yeah, I would, most of the time. Eldritch will play it because they'll play that along with Skill Drain. I can play it because most Altergeist players will play it because, to be honest, we don't really use spell cards with trap based deck. And if you play it, it basically locks certain decks out. If you're playing Sky Strikers, you're gone. Sky Strikers relies heavily on its spell cards.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like they say, it's extremely toxic because it completely kicks people out from 1/3. You can't play 1/3 of the game.
Yeah. And in a game, I've never been a fan of that. Even when we take it away from Yu-Gi-Oh! Go to Tekken, the minute you pop someone up and you just put the controller down because you know it's over, that's a problem, developers. That's a problem. All right. It should not ever be that way. That's why I will always praise Bloody War for what they did. Because, again, they have the Tekken setup to where you can juggle. Because juggling can get fun. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend up here be a hypocrite. Be like, I will never ever juggle. No, juggling can be fun. But when you juggle the entire health bar away, that's when it's frustrating. In Bloody Roar, though, there is a tactic behind it. If you're getting juggled, you can go ahead and boom, transform, and you break them, you push them away from you. It's not like they just stop and then they get started again. They get blasted away from you, like kind of Goku style, as if Saitama was trying to punch him, and then he just went across the entire map because he's too weak for Goku. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, I will say that, like, you'll transform, you're in your beast form, you're able to fight back, all that good stuff. You're able to do that in Bloody Roar. They give you a chance to fight back. In Tekken 7, it's even before Tekken 7, really, but Tekken 7 and Yu-Gi-Oh, if you have those types of tactics that you can't even fight back, where's the fun in that? You're just an innocent bystander.
Well, there's another issue anyway. They keep adding more and more cards with Omni-Negates. Like Baron DeFleur has been added to the game, and it's just another Omni Negate along with the Shooting Star. Stardust Dragon?
Yeah, Stardust Dragon. Yeah. I had to fight him many a times against my boy Muhizi in real life when we were doing that, like the actual at each other's house playing the card
actual TCG.
Yeah, I ended up beating one, but it was just a lucky draw. I was able to draw my Kaiju out, immediately Kaiju'd it, and the King of All Calamities really needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
The Calamity, that card, like most decks can operate without it, but it's just toxic. They just need to take that on out. I mean, it's so many cards in it they need to ban or do something about, but I don't know. Nobody knows what Konami does. Konami doesn't even know what Konami does.
Konami does Konami things.
That doesn't really answer much.
We need to just use the current TCG banned list, because that pretty much just allows it to just shut down everything that's currently going on. Because everything that's going on in TCG is what you can kind of do right now at Master Duel. Master Duel, I believe, is still behind in actual packs because they have to put them into the system. Because there's, like, I've been reading through, like, a lot of different decks on, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! GoPro deck and some other sites where there's, like, cards, like, I'm not seeing in Master Duel yet because they haven't been released into the system.
Yeah, they're behind.
Yeah,
I forgot how many expansions.
But that's the fact of, it's, like, the current, I don't know if it's just because they're, like, oh, you're behind expansion, so you can't have the current TCG. I'm, like, then whatever current point we're at, you need to go backwards in your ban list rulings and get whatever one that was launched at the time when we're at and just install it, because
there's another bigger problem with I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh no, that's pretty much what I was gonna say, is they need to align us with the current TCG at the time frame where we're at ban list, so that way we don't have to deal with a lot of this crap, you know, that's out there, because I'm pretty sure they had a ban list at this point that was made to counter a lot of this crap that was going on, but we're probably not getting it. I haven't tried to cross-reference it because that's way too much work for me to do. You know, Konami needs to get off their asses and do it themselves.
Konami's not going to do that. They're just worried about their pachinko machine, their chinko machines, or whatever they're called. Pachinko.
Yeah, but there's one big problem. This is the reason that keeps, in TCG, it keeps, like, you know, the bomb deck? Nobody uses that. It's useless in a TCG. Because it's best of three, there's a side deck. Like, you'll have a deck. Then you have a side deck.
Yeah,
so
you
if
got
somebody
the
uses a bomb, deck. like they use that bomb deck, you can quickly side deck out and get another deck ready to just deal with that problem.
I am gonna interject here so we can actually end off the stream. So we can end off the stream. Yeah, we're at 7:31 right now. But yeah, but just a reminder, everybody, again, that's our All Things Game Episode 17, Season 2. We appreciate you guys that's listening on Spotify, Anchor, YouTube, Twitch, whatever you guys are listening at. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys. This Thursday, no stream. Unless you're going to see a personal stream from one of the ALWT cast, if you will. We're going to resume next Tuesday for our All Things Game and talk more video game news, other good stuff. And then the following Thursday is going to be our SIN segment with more Bloodborne as we get through that. Try to get the good ending with Mildewy Carrot, It's the Nine Ball, and Malachi 36. And then be on the lookout for any updates that we have for our 9 to 5 as it's going to be in April. Will it be the 2nd? Will it be the 9th? 16th? 23rd? 30th? There's a lot of Saturdays in April. No. April. Here we go. May. So will it be the 7th, 14th, 21st, or 28th? Who knows? Just be on the lookout for all of that. Again, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Please make sure you guys are checking out our social media platforms, such as Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. Just type in ALWT Gaming. If you guys can't find us by ALWT Gaming, type in At Least We Tried Gaming, because At Least We Tried. Yeah, and that is pretty much it. I am Malachi 36. He is It's the Nightball. This is Mildewy Carrot signing off for 26th of April. Until next time, everybody. Control. Alt.
Complete.
Complete.
Propel.